بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many of our Buzwanadin would bring about Islah and rectification with small phrases, parables, examples, and perhaps this was because of the love that they had for the Ummah. They felt that the easiest possible manner and just get them to Jannat. How can we do it? So they would think, they would make dua, they would reflect, and they would look for easiest ways that will usher us into Jannat. Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh used to give these type of examples and parables, that in your own time and place, you reflect and you will think, and the thinking eventually leads you to real goals. So he explained that the king had seen a dream wherein he had seen that there was a big platter of fruit, all sizes, all shapes, all colors, some big, some small, some fresh, some old, and some very, very young, and some extremely old. And then over this platter was a lid, and then there is a knife that comes in from above, and that knife then cuts all those fruit. The dream was very vivid, it seemed extremely real. So he called the ministers, explained to them the dream, and wanted an interpretation. So they couldn't make out what was the interpretation, what is the meaning of the dream. So he sent out a royal decree that until and unless the meaning of the dream is not found, then nobody can light any fire in his house. Now, these kings in the past, they had unlimited powers. They could do things. Nobody could question them. So they don't find the meaning of this dream, nobody can light a fire. How they depend on fire for food, for light to light the homes. They can't light the homes, they can't cook any and prepare any food. So just around the time that the king had sent this royal decree, one person was just coming home, soldier, after a year of service, he was just pulling in home. And as he's pulled into the home, so he says to his mother, you know, really, I'm really desirous of home food. Like after we finished the etikaf now, all are desirous of home, right? Really desirous of home food. So the mother complained, okay, how can I ever do such a thing? Risking my life, risking your life. So young people generally, they don't look long term, short term, whatever. Let's do it. They look at only short term. But the youngster says, well, the consequence is on my head. I will take the blame for everything. Just get the food prepared. Anyway, the mother won't she do for her child? His motherly love, what won't she do? So she lit the fire and prepared the food, and there the police were there. They could see the smoke coming out from the chimney. So they were there. There's a trial. So the soldier pleads to the court, all right, give me at least 5 days, and I'll try and get out the meaning for this. Now they're very enthusiastic to get the meaning. And this person, he's put his head on the block that I will do it. So let us give him a chance. So he's gone out into the wilderness to go and find out. First day passes. He has to be really thorough about this. He has to be really committed because his life is on the block. Failure, and it's a life sentence. So anyway, the first day passes, and then the second day, and the third day, and then the fourth day, it's just one day left, and he's hunting, high and low, must get this thing right. He sees one young girl playing, 5-6 years of age. So, he became a little bit interested in her. From her looks, she looked a little bit intelligent. So he just asked her, what does your father do? Where is your father gone? And what does he do? So she says, my father's occupation is, he adds soil to soil. I said, hey, I think I hit the right number now, because this one is talking something different, at a different level she's talking. She's not talking like normal people, so I came to the right place. And what your mother does, she doubles the singles. That's even more interesting. Anyway, it wasn't too long that the father or the mother is pulled in. So this soldier is asking the father, you know, your child seems quite interesting, because it's the answer that she's given me. Adding soil to soil and singling the doubles. What is it? So she says, he says to her, to him, yeah, no, my daughter is like this. Allah Pak has given her this type of wisdom and understanding. And then she's the right candidate. But what is the meaning? No, you rather ask her herself directly. So adding soil to soil, what it means? He's an undertaker. So he adds soil to soil. Right. There's all the Kabristan, all that. So man is soil, and adding soil to soil. And singling the doubles, in other words, and the mother, what she is a, kya kehte jo deliver karte isko kehte foster nurse, midwife. She's a midwife. So singling the doubling the singles, what the midwife does, she doubles the singles. Yeah, but now, can you just solve this mystery for us? This is the dream of the king. So she gave a big laugh and said, hey, such a simple thing and you can't work it out. She says that that platter is the earth, right? And the fruit are the different people. Someone is big, someone is small, someone is fat, someone is short, someone is old, someone is young, different people, right? And above is the sky, and from above is coming Malakul Maut. And indiscriminate, that Malakul Maut doesn't see that this is young, this is old, this is middle age, this is short, this is weak, this is strong, indiscriminately. It's taking, randomly, whoever he is to take, is taking away. So this is the reality of death. It comes unannounced, there is no system that we can understand. Okay, what is the system that Malakul Maut follows in taking away the soul? In coming to this world, there is a system, right? First, the father comes, then the son comes, then the grandson comes, then the great-grandson comes, right? You don't hear of the grandson coming first and then the father coming thereafter. So there is a system in coming, in arriving to the earth. But in leaving the earth, there isn't a system. Sometimes the great-grandson is going, and the great-grandfather is still living. So there isn't a system in the return, but in the arrival there is a system. So the important thing is then, how do we make our return journey a comfortable one? So the simple answer is, we can elucidate this afterwards, but the simple answer is, you make your life enjoyable to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make your return journey enjoyable to you. Your life, you make it enjoyable to Allah Ta'ala, and your return onward journey, He'll make it enjoyable for you. He'll make it so enjoyable that if you are in the economy class, He'll upgrade it to the business class. Can he do it? Can anybody stop him? and from the business class to the first class, and from the first class to the double first class. Who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Can anybody stop Allah Ta'ala? He can just upgrade you. But for this upgrading, all he needs, all he wants you to do, is you make your life enjoyable and pleasant to him. His standards, his requirements, his criteria, he must be in love with you at any given time. Mawlana Alim Ya Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, people commonly know him as Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, right? So he passed away in the month of Ramadan. I think it must have been about the 21st or the 23rd of Ramadan. And I think we were sitting in Etikaf on the top masjid. And I think Mawlana Zahir was giving a sort of talk or something. Yeah? You were giving the talk. Yeah. And he passed away on a Friday. Yeah. Passed away on a Friday, but in which way? In the way that he would desire. You know, you say, كَأَنَّمَا خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاوْ Ya you must say, كَأَنَّمَا مُتَّ كَمَا تَشَاوْ As though he died in the way that he wanted to die. He told Allah Ta'ala, or the Malak al-Maut, see, this is the way. I want this way. I want this finishes. You know, in the house, you see, you want this finishes. In the kurta, you want that type of finishes. And for the deco, you want that type of finishes. As though he had a contract with Malak al-Maut, okay, these are the finishes that I want. For the Juma, he had a ghusl, he had a bath. And thereafter, he put on good clothes, like how it is sunnat for the Juma. Okay. Then he applied itar. Then he's facing the Qibla. He's got the Quran Sharif, reciting Surah Yasin, or whatever the surahs. And then, Malak al-Maut has to announce to him, Chalo mere saath, eh dost. Now my friend, come with me. And he says, readily, I've been waiting for this moment. And he's joined Malak al-Maut, never to return. Okay. So, it isn't that these type of incidents only happen for the people in the past. It even happens in this day and time as well. But it's just a little bit of amending your finishes. Get your finishes right. And Allah Ta'ala's treasures are limitless, shoreless treasures He's got. But you just adjust your ways. And adjusting the ways is not a difficult thing. Is not something that is impossible. Everything is possible, there is a way, there is a time. You can do it. So this little bit of adjustment to the life, little bit of correction, and then not only the hereafter becomes pleasant and enjoyable, even this life becomes enjoyable and pleasant. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا That this life also becomes enjoyable. It becomes a pleasure. One brother that used to be sitting with us in Atikaf, very simple person. He's passed away. Allah Ta'ala filled his grave with Noor. Very simple person. Will joke with us. Committed to his work, but a little bit of a jokey character. In the Ramadan, he'll bring one pot of food. He must eat his food as well. Very cheerful, very nice person. But he would tell me in confidence, he would tell me that I don't know how many times he's seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embracing him. And then, apart from that, he says, when I sit down to make zikr, then someone put a candy into my mouth, you know. But this is for those people that are clean at heart, very, very clean. They don't have any malice, any malicious intent. Nothing. Very clean at heart, simple people. They carry on their lives. Nothing to impress people, nothing to show off. In this age, as I say, this can still happen. There's another brother that used to be here, and he also passed on. I don't think that anybody comes here, he goes. So, he passed away. I think it was the month of Ramadan he passed away, so we went to offer condolences after Ramadan. So they say that someone has seen in the dream that the Sahaba-i-Kiram and Nabi Sallam had to come to receive him. He was also a very simple person, professional man. Afterwards I discovered that he was a professional person. All the days, all the years that he used to come for Atikaf, and we didn't know he was a professional person. After he passed on, then we realized that he's a professional person. Because the way he used to carry himself, It will give everybody badam. Say, or it is on mota now, but generous mota, so he's doing this. And then the Dastar Khan and all, he'll clean it up and he'll do it himself. Old person, but he'll still insist, I want to do it. So then I wanted to know from the family, but what was his secret? He says he never indulged in ghibat at any time. Any time, he never indulged any backbiting. And if it was, he's in a company that someone is saying something out of line, then one time he will tell them this is not right. And if they ever started off second, then he won't do anything. He won't shout them, he won't reprimand them, he won't tell them anything, he'll get up and move straight. This is the amendments that we need to make, the adjustment that we need to make. The treasures of Allah Ta'ala hasn't closed on for anybody. Allah Ta'ala is saying, are there any takers? We are the givers are still there, but are there any takers? The giver is saying that I got, and I want to give, and I want to continue giving. But is there any taker? There is a taker that I will give readily. So it's just a little bit of adjustment that is required into this life. Adjustment, correct this, correct that. Get our namaz right, get our tongue right, our eyes right, our ears right. A little bit of adjustments to be made. And then you see how Allah Ta'ala will just pour. And he'll pour, and he'll pour, and you know, your heart will explode. It will literally explode. You won't be able to take that pleasure, that excitement that Allah Ta'ala will grant you. So he'll have to move you to the next realm, because your heart can't take it. The pleasure, the excitement will be so great that your heart can't tolerate it. So he'll have to give you another engine. The engine is too weak. You may have a V8, a V4 engine here, but that engine is too weak. He'll have to give you another engine that you can contain that pleasure that Allah Pak is going to provide you with. So many other people that pass away, they pass on, but they pass on in a way that Allah Pak is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are pleased with Allah ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is pleased with them. That is why in Surah Al-Fajr, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. When you say mutma'inna, then the easiest translation or the understanding, let us not say the translation, the easiest understanding of this verse, soul that was totally compliant. Compliant soul. Allah said, move this way, move this way. Move that way, move that way. Lower your gaze, lower your gaze. Just shut down now, don't say anything, just shut down straight away. Close your ears now, don't say anything, don't hear, don't listen to this. Don't entertain evil thoughts about anybody, straight away. So he was totally compliant. Allah Pak would just indicate straight away. There was immediate response. As the command kicked in, and there was immediate response. So he became totally compliant, totally compliant. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. And compliance with the cheer, compliance with happiness. You know, it must happen. What Allah, what are you saying? I must do it. Come what may, but I must do it. And I like to do what you are asking me to do. I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm doing it, and I'm doing it with a cheer. I'm doing it with love. Allah, I like you, and I want to do it. What you are telling me, I must do it. I'm to find an occasion to do it. So they are awaiting, for that command of Allah Ta'ala to come, so that they can have a chance to accomplish that command, execute that command. So this is that category of people, you say, nafse mutma'in. So around the time that they are leaving the world, then this is the reception that they get. You know, at the istima, you get a reception. They give you some zamzam, some khajur, and they upgraded all the time. This year, I see they were giving some packet of sweets also, I think, this year. Cold drink. And they give you some type of zamzam, kajur, all that at a reception. Alright, they're doing in this earthly sojourn, whatever they could do, they did, right? But the world got its limitations. It can only do so much. How much more can it do? It can't do beyond that. So they did what they could do, they did, right? And Allah will do what beyond our comprehension, beyond our comprehension. Can't even think. Mind can't, it's mind-boggling. Beyond that. So Allah Ta'ala addresses that soul, irji'i ila rabbik. Come back. But then when that soul hears the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like a bird that's fluttering in a cage, that has seen its partner, for example, after 3 years. What will happen to it now? It can't contain it. Banging this side, banging that side, banging the other side. It just wants to get out. So the soul wants to get out because it's heard the command of the divine, command of the beloved. The lover has called, and he was pining all the years just to get to the beloved. All the years he was just pining to get up there, to get up there, get up there. Now it's an occasion. Now it's the occasion to just go. Thaymi Sahib Rahmatullah's grandfather, in his youth he had become very great, very pious. And the motivation was very great. Very, very great. So anyway, the motivation is very great, then sometimes you need to moderate it. So the mother-in-law complained, hey, this youngster got married now, but his drive is too strong. Now he needs to moderate himself, because now he has got a wife, he's got children, everything has to be balanced, you see. That he needs to do this and he needs to do that as well. So she complained to his sheikh. So the sheikh did something and he moderated the whole thing. Now he got very upset, hey, you know, I had that drive and I had that motivation and moderated me. From what I had, what engine I had now, I can't do that type of speed any longer. You know, a youngster now, he could do that speed. Say 200 he could do with a drag car, right? And put him 200, how he feels? How does he feel? Just imagine how does it feel for the youngster. Oh, the motorcycle that he's got is putting up to 350. And now you reduce him to one of the India Vespa, you know, 70 Ks. They say, there's no journey, there's no mileage in this. So now he felt very upset. Anyway, the sheikh of his was not concerned about his getting upset. Anyway, moderated. Now, when he's approaching his death, he brought him back to that original, see? See, so they talk about love, and they talk about muhabbat-e aqli and muhabbat-e tab'i. So we'll have to translate it a little bit differently in English, right? In English, we'll have to say like a natural death, muhabbat-e tab'i, sort of natural love, right? Natural, instinctive love, right? So, at the time that one is approaching death, then he needs to have that natural love. A love that is overwhelming. It's overwhelming, it's instinctive, it's overwhelming. And in life, you will need to have love also, but love with moderation. Or you will say, muhabbat aqli. I can't find a suitable English word, but love but with moderation. So that a man can adjust himself, he can balance all his affairs. Now he's excited because that original love came back. Just around the time that he's passing away. So around the time that you're passing away, you need that type of an overwhelming love. You can't contain yourself. Now you want to move. You got the speed. And you got the speed at the right time. Because if you had that overwhelming love in this life, you know, then you couldn't continue with your life. You'll carry on reading namaz one way, namaz, roza, not disconcerned about everything else. Now you need a little bit of a balanced thing so that everything can be done in place. Now he's on his death bed now. So he put the sheet over his head, you see. So when he put the sheet over his head, the woman came to know that he's on his last now. They start crying. But the thing is that in all that, he still is in his senses. So they're crying. They understand now he's going now. At any time he'll be going. It's natural for the dear and the near ones to cry around that time. They're lamenting and they're crying and all that. So he removed the sheet. He said, "Are khabiso kisi ko marne bhi nahi dete." Stupid things. You can't even let anybody die nicely. So they were frightened now. Uncle is angry now, so they were frightened. They kept quiet. Meanwhile, he took the sheet, put it over his head, and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He's gone, one way. So, ka'annama mutta kama tashau. Like you died in the way that you asked for it. You asked it tailor-made. You wanted the death to be in a certain style, certain way, certain finishes. You wanted it in that way, and Allah made it happen. Ka'annama mutta kama tashau. So this is that soul that was totally compliant. Then Allah says for it, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. That go and leave this world, the parameters of this world. Leave it. Leave the parameters of this body. Leave it. Now you're going to go to a realm. You know, it's far, far beyond this universe. Far beyond this universe. Now come in. Welcome. Welcome to the world of love. Welcome to the world of reward, of recompense. Welcome. He's getting a welcome already. It's you leaving and you're getting that welcome. You've been striving all these years. You have been suppressing and resisting. You have been doing everything, whatever it asked for. It's for me. For my love, you've been doing this. Whereas, you know, at times you had been overcome with anger and you wanted to say to the person a mouthful. But just for my sake, you kept quiet. You suppressed your anger. Your temptations you suppressed. Your eyes wanted to float around, but you suppressed your eyes. Your ears wanted to hear, listen to things, but you just blocked your ears away. Sometimes you sacrificed the comfort of your home. You went out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. All for my sake. No commercial gain you had for it. But for me, what didn't you do? So I'm not one that is not rewarding. Is there anybody that can reward better than me? You reward, you recompense, but is there anybody whose recompense is better than my recompense? Whose reward is better than my reward? Nobody can equal me. So I'll show you what I'll do for you. But then you have to then just adjust yourself. I say, like I say, compliant, you know. I can't find a better word. Compliant. Absolutely. It's just tailor-made. You did it like how Allah wanted it. The eyes also, the ears also, the tongue, everything. Even the mind, you discipline the mind as well. Mind is going in different directions. So you have to discipline it, divert it. You can't fight the mind, but you divert it onto the right. As much as it wanted to go onto the wrong, but you diverted it. You brought it. So Allah Ta'ala gives that announcement at that last moment. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. You're going now. And so he's giving you, a reception is giving you, come in, well pleased. I'm happy with you, you happy with me. We love each other. You pleased and I'm pleased. I'm happy, you happy. Anything else you can think of, your creator and the beloved, he's given you an invitation. Who you were dying for, who you were pining for, who you were anticipating. And he's telling you, come in with love. Come in with all cheers. I'm cheered with you. I'm happy with you. So you also come in with cheers. A group of Mujahideen were crossing on Christian territory, you know. When Jamaat was crossing Christian territory. So they intercepted them, brought them to the king. And the Christians have a history of forcing people into their faith. It's a history. If you look into their own books, you know, and how many people they had to burn alive, whatever else, whatever they had to do, just to torture back into Christianity. So they have a history for doing that. But ये चोर की आदत होती है कि दूसरे को चोर कहता है. When the thief is caught, then he lumps the blame onto the innocent. So he's a chore, poor chap. But now he's caught out now. When he's caught out red-handed, so he lumps the blame onto the next person. So forcing people into the Christianity is as old as history. So they intercepted them, they brought them to the king. Accept Christianity. Otherwise, face the consequence, we'll behead you. So, one, two persons were quite hesitant. And, you know, they asked the king for some chance. Let's think about it. So the king, the third person came in, said, no, blunt, I'm blunt about it. I'm not going to put my iman onto the block. I'm not going to put my iman off the block. You do what you want to do. Whatever measures you have to take, you can do it. Behead me, but for my Allah Ta'ala, for my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm not prepared for this. My Allah Ta'ala is too dear to me. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is too dear to me. Come what may. But I'm not prepared for this. So he beheaded him. The head he threw into the Euphrates. That head popped out, its surface came right onto the surface. And that head called out to those people that were still in the state of bewilderment. You know? The thing of crossing, going across. So that head came up and said, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, addressing the king as well. You know what my Rabb said? Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. So not only being well-pleased, come with all cheers, with all love, well-received. But then, you also want a company, don't you want company? See, you've been to Hajj, or you've been to Umrah, and don't you see the need for your own people to be around, your company, friends, wife or children or someone that make you feel comfortable? Although you in the divine presence, you're there in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here in front of the Kaaba Sharif. But don't you feel much more relaxed when you're amongst your own folks, own people? When you're your own people, that you feel much more relaxed, right? Because you've been with them and you feel very homely with them. So Allah is your designer, He's your creator, He knows what makes you feel comfortable. So alright, get into my servants, my special elite servants, your folks, people that you are comfortable with them, get in with them. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Allah bakhto fi nasib kare. The last Jummah, whatever we can do now, may not get inshallah, it's impossible to get another Jummah now, for this year. May Allah give us more Jummahs for the future. But this little moments, try and appreciate. Today is Jummah, the more Durood Sharif, Durood Salam, Salawat, all appreciated on this day.